Podcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
How great is our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How great is our God. How great is our God.
Yes, sir.
I don't believe you get it. How great is our God. His greatness cannot be measured. That's how great our God is. Thank you, Father. Bless your name, God. You are so worthy. Thank you. Thank you. For being such a great God. An awesome and mighty God. There's none like you. Worthy of our praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, we bless your name today. We bless your name today. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about Him today and every day. How great is our God? Oh, bless His holy name. If you got a praise for our great God, it's all right to give it to Him. It's all right to give it to Him. Thank you. Oh, yes, He's worthy. Yes, He's worthy. Thank you. thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Get your Bibles and turn them, if you don't mind, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And I want to just lift out verse 44. Luke 4, verse 44. Recorded are these words. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearers, and more especially doers of His holy word. At 7 a.m., we talked about know your anointing. But at 8:30, I want to talk about flowing your anointing. And Jesus was sharing with us and giving us an example, a paradigm of how we ought to know our anointing. First, we ought to know where we ought to operate in our anointing. And secondly, we ought to know what our anointing is. But then thirdly, he shares with us when we ought to operate in that anointing. Because if you don't operate in your anointing where you're supposed to operate in it, it will not be effective. Equally so is you trying to operate in an anointing you've not been called to. And then thirdly, if you know where and if you know what, but if you don't know when, you still will be ineffective in your anointing. So it gave to us a helpful holy hint as to know where, to know what, and to know when to operate in our anointing. And then if you will note, at the 30th verse in this fourth chapter of St. Luke, Jesus is found at the end of a cliff. And it says, but he passing through the midst of them went his way, and he did not allow the crowd to dictate his destiny or his end. And so he, right in the midst of them, carrying him to the end of a cliff to throw him off headlong, just disappeared out of their sight, but just walked right through the midst of them and went his way. Verse 31 says this, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on Sabbath days. Sabbath, plural, days. He spent much time there. Now, those of you who were at 7 understand this, because we were dealing with the fact that he had gone to his hometown of Nazareth to declare his messianic ministry beginning. Luke 4, 18, 19, and 20 reveals this, and he makes clear that Isaiah was prophesying about him. And not only was he prophesying about him, but he shared with them that the time of that prophecy had now begun. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And so what he was saying was, I will begin my messianic ministry, my Messiah ministry, beginning today. And so he went to his hometown, but of course, you know, the record is the hometown people didn't receive him. And so, but he had to declare this word and these works to his people first. And then upon them not receiving them, he would go to other cities also and do what he was anointed to do. And so now when we pick up at verse 31, I want us to learn how to flow in our anointing. Because you can be anointed and know your anointing and still not flow in your anointing. And it doesn't really make sense to be anointing to know it and not flow in it, because it is always to be beneficial to those whom the Lord sends you to. So look at this word, because I want us to see this. It says in verse 32, and they were astonished. Now, they weren't astonished in Nazareth, but in Galilee. They're astonished. They're amazed at his doctrine or teaching. Listen, for his word was with power. For his word. One of the words, one of the reasons why it says for his word, because it was the personification of this word. He was the living word, ministering the word. It says was with power. This particular word, power, comes from the Greek exousia, which means authority. So here this man Jesus was speaking with authority. He wasn't just reading scripture and quoting scripture and preaching from scripture. He was bringing the relevance and the power of scripture forth in the declaration of scripture. And so they were amazed and astonished at his doctrine. Verse 33 says, and in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Listen, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now, I want to remind you, these aren't Christians talking. These aren't even church folk talking. These are demonic spirits talking. Where are they talking? In church? That's why I don't get hung up on everybody saying things that sound holy. Because demonic spirits can talk some religious talk also. But Jesus was able to discern the demonic spirits and who they were and what they were and what they were saying. Listen now, he's teaching in the synagogues now. He is anointed, listen, just declared that he is now operating in his messianic ministry. And now the first folk to acknowledge that he's operating in his messianic ministry is demons. Now here's something that's going to mess you up. The demons were believers. Art thou come to destroy us? Because we know who you are. I know who you are. You're the Holy One of, you are the Messiah. The Messiah, rather. Your messianic ministry is in force. How? We know it in the spirit realm. We know you're the only one who can destroy us when you get ready. So that's why they ask the question, are you coming to destroy us? Listen, they knew who they were dealing with, and church folk don't even know who they're dealing with. They believed in the Messiah. They knew his power. They knew at any moment, any moment, he could have destroyed their lives, ended them right away. And church folk don't even know what they're dealing with in the name and in the power and in the presence of Jesus Christ. So those demons believed in him, knew who he was. And the people, listen, that heard him were astonished at his teachings. Yeah. Oh, yeah. at his doctrine, but they didn't know him. They just knew he spoke with authority. But they're getting ready to see what kind of authority he's speaking with. Listen at this. Because he's not just talking the talk. He's walking the walk. Look at what the Bible says. Because one of the things that I think you need to gather again is how Jesus deals with this. And Jesus rebuked him. And Jesus rebuked him. Listen, now you would think that Jesus would want the people to know who he is. The demons are declaring who he is. The Holy One of God. Jesus of Nazareth. Making sure they know who he is. And Jesus rebukes them. Him, the leader who speaks for the demonic spirits. Why is Jesus rebuking them? Because Jesus has already declared that scripture has been fulfilled in the ears of the Nazarites. Those his chosen people, the people where place where he was brought up in, his hometown. He had already declared this. Now, he's moving on now to move into his ministry. He's flowing. He don't want demons to attach themselves with his ministry. He don't want demons to announce and to publicize he's the Christ, the anointed one of God, the Holy One of God. He don't want demons cheering him on. Some folk will get the message twisted if they hear demons lifting up Jesus. So he shuts them up. He don't want everybody calling his name. Especially those he has no relationship with. If he doesn't have a relationship with you, you ain't got no right to call his name. Shut up. I rebuke you, demon. You make folk think we friends. Y'all ain't getting this. You know there are some people the Lord don't want calling his name because if they figure you his friend, then they'll be like, well, I don't want to be his friend. If he's friends with you and the likes of you. So he rebukes, listen at this, him saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. Now, demon is mad. He can't say nothing. He just throws the man down. But he's already been authoritatively ordered to come out of the man. So he throws the man down and he comes out of the man without hurting him. Now, I got to tell you the reason why he threw him down. It almost seems as if he's saying, well, since I can't say nothing, I'm going to just throw him down. No, he was getting ready for his future position. He threw him down so he could bow down to come out of here. Y'all ain't getting this. He knew his position. Down, bow, down. He came out of him down, not up, but down. Because he knows that every knee. Y'all going to catch it sooner or later. Listen to what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. And verse 36, and they were all amazed and spake among who? Themselves. Ain't that just like church folk? Ain't that just like church folk? They start talking among themselves. Child, did you see that? Now, they weren't used to these kind of miracles taking place, and they weren't used of this kind of flow and operation in church service. Listen now. So they're amazed at this, and they're listening, and they're talking among themselves, saying, what a word. What a word. Is this? What a word is this, for with authority, exousia, and power, which clearly makes clear from structure that authority is not the same usage in this word power, because that would have been redundant saying an authority and authority. So he says, listen, or they say among themselves, saying, what a word is this, for with authority, exousia, and power. Now this is dunamis, which is the word which means explosive ability or power to get things done. He has authority, exousia. He has ability, dunamis, which is the same primitive etymological root word we get dynamite from. He makes clear that what he authorized, he is able to do in the same breath. What a word. He tells this man, demons come out of him, and the demons come out, listen, because he's got power to bring them out whether they want to or not. They recognize that. Now listen to this. He has the authority and power. Listen, he commanded the unclean spirits, plural, and they came or come out. Verse 37, and the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Verse 30, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother, his mother-in-law, was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. Verse 39 says, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever. Now, I want you to see this flow of Jesus' operation and ministry. Jesus is in the synagogue. He's anointed to teach. He's anointed to preach. He's anointed to operate in his ability, his chosen gifts, or the gifts and the ministries given to him. It works there, everywhere he has been assigned to operate. He leaves the church, and I think I ought to tell you, something's wrong if your gift just work in the church. He is anointed, and you walk back again to the 18, 19, and 20 verses in there, the six things he's anointed to do. And so in his anointing as the Messiah, he's operating in this. The reason he couldn't do great miracles in his own country was because they didn't believe. They did not believe. And these are faith-operated gifts. Listen, even the demons believed him, and they obeyed his commands and left out of the man because they knew who he was. Yes, sir. And yet you've got people in the church who do not believe him and do not operate in that kind of belief to receive the benefit of those gifts. And yet Jesus leaves the church, he's still operating in his messianic title. And so when he goes over to Simon's house and his mother-in-law is sick, they beseech him, they call him, they pray him, they ask him to go and heal her. Now, Jesus is still operating in his messianic power, in his messianic ministry, under his messianic title. And so he goes in and he speaks not to the mother-in-law, but to the fever. He don't know the mother-in-law. They ain't there to have no social hour. She's got a fever. She don't want to hear nothing. She ain't trying to hear nothing. She is in pain. Jesus just go right to the problem. And because he has exousia, authority, and dunamis, power, he don't waste no time with idle chatter. He just rebukes the fever, and the fever cools down. Look, I want you to see the word is right there. All right, the Bible says, again, when this thing happened, she had the fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked what? The fever. And did what? Fever say, it's too hot in here for me. And the fever. Yeah, listen. And the Bible says, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. You see, when you flow in your gift, you unlock, unleash other folk to be a blessing to others. See, when you're not flowing in your gift and operating in the gift that you should operate in, you are hindering other folk who will get a release and become unleashed to operate in their gifts when you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So that's one of the reasons why the devil don't want you to do what you got to do, because what you got to do is bigger than you. What you've got to do has the ability to touch others in ways that you don't even know. Now they tell me she could cook. Now, they just got out of church. How many of you know when you get out of church and you done had some good church, you're hungry? Well, now, when she got over that fever, it wasn't no sense in her laying in bed. She got up and did what she do. Oh, look at y'all. We'll get super spiritual now. And ministered unto them. Well, what kind of ministering you think they need? Food. Physical food, they got all the spiritual food they needed. See, some of your gifts ain't spiritual, some of them are physical. Y'all ought to hear me here today. I'm not trying to be funny, I'm so very serious. You don't understand that, listen, we're made of dust and divinity. That's flesh and spirit. You are not all spiritual. I dare you to just eat spiritual food and tell your body, you know what? We are through, no more physical food for you. We're going to live off the word. The word is my meat. That's good for the spirit. But listen at this. Your body, your flesh needs earthly food. That's real. This word is clear. Jesus had gone on a fast for 40 days. Devil messed with him. This is all in the beginning of chapter. And Jesus didn't eat nothing for 40 days. And the Bible says when he got through with that, he was hungry. Now, if Jesus gets hungry, don't you get all holy than thou. Like, I can do more than that. Try it. See what you look like after 40 days of no food. Continuously. I'm here to tell you, she ministered to them in the natural. And so many of your gifts may be in the natural arena. Not all of you are gifted to be able to give to be able to operate in a spiritual gift, but that will complement the spiritual gift, because you need food to strengthen you for the journey. So look at this word here as we continue on. And verse 41 says, verse 40 says, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases, different and various diseases, brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Listen, she got up, she ministered to them. Strength for the physical body, for ministry work that was yet ahead. When they had finished eating and the body was strengthened, when the sun was